Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Good morning, everyone. Since we're about to take communion, and so if the servers could please start serving the elements. And I just wanted to share with you, the Lord's Supper was instituted by Jesus Christ. He commanded its observance and asked that it be done as a remembrance and celebration of the sacrifice and His love. The word of Jesus in the cross, the work of Jesus on the cross is something we should never forget. His suffering, His body, and His blood given for us. We were bought with a price, redeemed by love, and set free from our sins. Hebrews 13:20 tells us in the new covenant, is unconditional and undeserved. It's a covenant of grace. We can do nothing to earn it. We simply accept and receive it by faith. So the Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." So in a moment, we'll take the bread as soon as everyone is served. So it's a special time, a special day. This is the time just for you individually. It's not about families. It's not about, husbands and wives and friends and all. It's about each and every one of you individually. He died for you. And while we can celebrate as family and as a church, we are able to do it together, but we do it individually. This is your time for you to speak to Him, allow Him to speak to you, to bring you healing where healing is needed. And healing isn't always about physical. It's also about, it's mental. It's where we need healing of memories, of different things that we have to be able to recover from. And, you know, He's always with us. Always. Has everyone been served? So if we could all take the bread, please. In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant. In My blood, do this. Whenever you drink, and do it in remembrance of Me." So please take the cup. This time of communion and being here at His table is where we receive faith, hope, and love that is offered. And the greatest of these is love, not human love, rather the lavish, fierce, and perfect love of God for each and every one of us, whether we're here and everywhere where our families are, now and forever. So it's an amazing gift that He has given us. And I just wanted to share this word with you. It comes from Jeremiah 17:7-8. The last few weeks, this is a word that He put on my heart. And it's one that if we stay in His word, we stay close to Him, we're going to find ourselves being strong. This was my mom's favorite one. She was only 4'9", but she was a mighty warrior in heaven. So let me give you the word. "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes. But its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor cease from yielding fruit." So no matter what you're going through, God is with you. And as you grow closer to Him and have a deeper walk, you're going to stand like this tree. My mom used to say, you know, when she would go through struggles, she said, "The wind blew, but I stood firm." And so I want you all to stand firm. And the way we do it is by just getting deeper. I have a deeper walk with the Lord and talk to Him. He says we're supposed to pray without ceasing. So allow Him to just encourage you, to embolden you, so that when the time comes and somebody needs to hear from you, that you speak His word and you speak love to whomever, you know, needs that. And so my prayer for you is that you be like this tree, and that you are planted, your roots run deep, and that you'll always have what you need, because God said He would never leave us nor forsake us. And so just know that He is always, always with you. Even when you have the darkest moment, he can bring you joy. And the joy of the Lord is his, is your strength. And he can bring you joy even in the dark moments. And you can even minister in those dark moments. Because as you minister, God's working on your plan. And he's working on your behalf. So praise God. So thank you.
How many of you know that the work has already been completed? In this, we have confidence that all things work together for our good. It's already been completed. The things that come in your life that feel like walls, that feel like, you know, I can't get past this, you already have victory in. You know, there's a time, there's going to be a point in our lives where things are going to happen and we're going to have to realize this is that moment. This is the time that he's been preparing me for. He's been pouring into me for is this here to stand and know that in the storm I have peace. That all things have already worked together for my good. These times, what's happening in the world now, man, it requires for the church to stand up and say, I'm standing on this because you've spoken it and it is so. And it doesn't matter what comes against me. It doesn't matter what I see physically because I know that the promises you've given are greater than anything that could ever come. We're going to have things come in our lives that seem impossible. Like, what do we do? I can't get through this. But if you realize that what's inside of you is so powerful and so strong, and that if you just tap into that flow, it'll just begin to pour through your life. Where the doctor says it can't be done, you're healed. Where people said that death had victory, no, it's been defeated already.
Hallelujah!
We have life, and we have it more abundantly. And it's time that we begin to step into that, not just be here and coming to church and going through the routine and seeing the day-to-day and going through our regular deal, but realizing that what we have is so much more powerful, that if we just begin to allow the Holy Spirit to flow in our life and tap in to the power that's within us, we're going to begin to see the kingdom on earth. We're going to begin to see victories in all areas. We're going to begin to see things that people haven't seen in so long. It's going to be undeniable. It's going to be something that people can't say, I don't know if God's real anymore, because they're going to see things happen in their life that have no explanation. Because when we are weak, he is strong, and he has made us more than conquerors. He's calling the church to rise up. To be a reflection of who he is. He's created you to be the light and the salt of this earth. He's placed things within you that may not have even come out yet. But if you just press in, if you just go after him, if you just go after the Holy Spirit in your life, God, I want to know what you're saying. You're going to begin to see these things in your life just begin to rise up. Because it's not us. It's him in us. And when we learn to let it go and lay it down, it allows him to come forth. and he's been wanting.
Good morning. Can we just all lift our hands? And let's just soak in. Let's just soak in the presence of the Lord. The Lord is here. The Lord is here. I think the last time I was up here, I encouraged you guys to respond. And I'm going to do the same thing. Let's just respond to the Holy Spirit. I mean, he's here. He's here. If you don't feel him, let me just encourage you. Just shut your eyes. Just for 30 seconds, a minute, whatever it is, just shut your eyes. And just with your mouth, not with your heart, with your brain, with your mouth, say, Lord, let me feel you. Lord, I just want to feel you. Just for 30 seconds. We need it, folks. We need it as a church, especially nowadays. We need it. We're going through a lot in this world. It's getting tougher to be a Christian. We need this time right here, just to lift our hands. Lord, I need you. Lord, send your presence, God. Lord, send the Holy Spirit. Lord, God, just speak to our hearts even now, just as we just take this few moments, just acknowledging you, acknowledging your presence. Heaven, come to earth. Heaven, come to meet me right where I'm at. Lord, refreshing. Bring a refreshing, Lord, just upon us as we sit here with our hands lifted high. Regardless what the week looked like to you or what you got coming this week, Lord, my hands are lifted high. I give it to you. I give my week to you, whether it was a good week or a bad week, whether we got a rough week coming our way or a joyous week coming our way. Lord, I give it to you. You take this moment. Just rest in his presence. Just rest. Amen. 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 I love worship. I love worship. Every time I come up here, I've always talked about some kind of form of worship. Worship has been my passion. I mean, sometimes I get emotional. I love the presence. I've been, since I was the age of 14, I want to say, maybe 15, I was a freshman in high school, and all the friends that I associated myself with played an instrument. I did not. Everybody, it was all about worship back when I was growing up. I wanted to play an instrument so badly, and I said, what better instrument than be the loudest instrument? I was a very quiet kid. I still am a little shy and quiet, but I was really, really, really quiet. And for me to play the drums with my way, just saying, hello, I'm here. I'm in the youth group. You guys know me. So I wanted to play drums. And so the gal that I was dating at the time, she was our drummer. And I was like, wow, I'm the man. That's the woman. She's playing drums. No. You know, it was unheard of. So I was like, I'm going to play the drums. I really want to play the drums. So I went to the worship leader, asked her. This has nothing to do with my message, by the way. This is a little story I decided to tell. I went to the worship leader. I said, I want to play drums. She's like, you know how to play? I said, probably not, but let's give it a shot. She's like, all right, well, come to worship practice, and we'll see what happens. I said, okay. Go to worship practice, and sure enough, man, I didn't know how to play drums. I played just as good as drums as, you know, little Ben over there. I mean, just make a joyful noise. And it wasn't so joyful for others. And she came up to me and she's like, well, maybe drums is not your thing. And I said, yeah, maybe not. I waited a week or two. There are these old congas sitting on the stage. And I don't think anybody at the time played them. She's like, well, I've been watching you. You pound the seat pretty good. Why don't you just start off on the congas? You know how to play congas? I said, I've never even heard of that word before. And she's like, well, those are it right over there, those old things. And I was like, sure. And she's like, well, come next week, and you can practice with the worship team. And I kid you not, it was like the whole service. The whole worship practice. And she's like, all right, well, let's work on it, and we'll move from there. I don't know what happened, but somewhere along those words, I thought she said, welcome to the worship team. So the next Wednesday, I went for practice, like she was expecting me. And sure enough, whatever. And I thought, oh, I'm going to play this Wednesday. And when youth pastors asked the worship team to come up, the rest is history. I went up there, and she was just like, oh, my, what are you doing? And I, you know, I just enjoyed it. I just wanted to worship. I just wanted to, everybody else worship. Why not? Everybody's worship was an instrument. I wanted to play an instrument and worship the Lord. And like my parents always taught me, whatever you do, just sing, Lord, I'm doing this for you, for no other person. I'm doing this for you. And I mean, I'm not saying that I'm excellent, but like, it's my passion. And ever since then, the rest is history. Then as I was doing 1-2-1-2, it was 1-thump-up-up, and I was keeping an eye on the drummer, and she was just like, just watch me. So I watched her. Then, like, my brother was an intern at the church. This was back in, gosh, 94 or whatever. After high school, I would go straight to the church because my brother worked there, and I just practiced everything I saw with my eyes on Wednesday night. And that went on for years. Then finally, they're like, one time the drummer wasn't there, and so it's like, well, Jason, just play the gongas, and I play the congas, and I just accidentally slipped into the drum cage. And she's like, wow. And the rest is history. And then, anyhow, I love to worship. That was my little pitch of worship. If you guys have a desire to play an instrument, I don't care if you're 5 years old or 95 years old. If you have a desire, it can happen. It's one thing to worship with your hands lifted up, it's another using an instrument. It can express it. All you musicians, you guys know what I'm talking about. It's very fulfilling. Anyhow, my message today, I just named it this morning. It's called, It's Go Time. Let's stand and fight. We were meant for His glory. That's why I had you guys just soak a couple minutes just soaking in the presence. We were made for His glory. That's what you guys were made for. You guys weren't made to work 40 hours a week. We were meant for glory. We were meant to reproduce, have children, and bring our children up for His glory. We are King's kids. We were royalty. If you get that in your mind, I was made for glory. I am royalty. We don't understand royalty in this country. We don't understand to bow. We don't understand to pay our respect. Obviously, we can look at the news. We don't get that concept here on this side of the world. But we are royalty. We belong in the kingdom. You know, we are children of the living God. What does that mean? It means we have access at any given moment to step in to my Father's kingdom, my Father's chambers, to step into the throne room. A lot of times we go through the week and we just don't feel worthy. We just don't feel like it. We don't feel like it. Let's lift our hands. Oh, if I don't want to. That's ridiculous. Let's lift our hands and shout to the Lord. I don't want to shout to the Lord. I had a bad week. It's not my personality. It's not who I am. But in the Bible, it says shout to the Lord. Give glory to the King on high, to the King of kings, your King. Pay your respect. Give Him glory at any given moment because you are a child of the King. You are royalty. You have access. Step into that presence of the Lord and enjoy the presence of the Lord. At any given moment, you don't have to do all these rituals and smoke and, I mean, sit on the floor of the car. I mean, other religions have made it so off. God says, just call unto me. Call unto me. These last couple months. So with that in mind, these last couple months, I've definitely been going through a lot. My family's been going through a lot. It's been a battle. It's been a battle with health issues. It's been a battle with just a bunch, especially with this whole being at home school. It's been challenging. It's been real challenging. And sometimes you go through your week And all you hear is just bad news coming, just, I can't do this, blah, blah, blah. You get reports from the teachers, emails, and I don't know if you got, for you parents out there, especially if you have like four little ones, it's just frustrating to get email after email after email, and it's just hard to communicate with the teacher, especially if you're not computer savvy. Like, I'm really not, and my wife is really not, but hi. She's just like, what? I didn't mean to throw her out that way, but it's hard. It's really hard to do all this room stuff. What's it called? No, Zoom stuff. Zoom in the room, whatever. It's just a lot at once, and it's just hard to learn. And so, like, it's been difficult. I'm not going to go into details, but we've had some health issues with several people in the family, and it's been hard. It's been frustrating. It's been really frustrating. It's a battle to come to church. It's a battle to live my Christian walk. And I was talking to my dad. I was like, there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on. And he says, as the priest of your home, what are you going to do about it? Well, you know what? He didn't have to preach to me. I've been trained. I just needed a little reminder, a little kick in the, and I was like, oh, yeah, you're right, Dad. Remember? It was like a couple of weeks ago. You're like, what are you going to do? As the priest of your home, what are you going to do? What am I going to do? I can just, but I've been doing it. I've been driving my truck, you know, at work. That's my place of me and the Lord sometimes. If it's not, you know, if it's, you know, I'll just, Lord, I need help. My dad, this, and my wife, and Lord, the children, in Jesus' name, bless me, amen. But when he said, as the priest of your home, what are you going to do? And just immediately, I was like, oh my God. So let's take, I want to go to Judges 7. Just kind of spare you all the reading, and we're not going to go into reading, but just kind of give you just an outlook. Gideon and his army were ready to go to war. And they were going to go to war with Midianites. Did I say that right? Midianites. All right. And they were ready, and they were prepping. They had tons. This army was huge. I think I want to say 22,000 people Gideon had. And they were ready to go to war. Not all of them were on board. Not all of them. They were scared. Some were scared. Some were worried. Some were complainers. But the Lord told Gideon, your army's too big. Your army's too big. Let's break it down a little bit. Pretty much, the Lord separated the boys and the men. He broke it down. So he said, go take your men to the lake or to the river. He says, just watch. He's like, watch your men. Those who drink of the river, who bend down with their knees and lick it like a dog, then there'll be the others who will scoop it up with their hands and drink it out of their hands. I don't know what the significance is. I'm sure there is. I'm just not a scholar. But he says, the ones that scoop it with their hands, those are the ones you want to take with you. And so the Lord just separated. Boom and boom. It was clear as day who Gideon had to take to war with him. So that's where we're going to start. It's Gideon 7. I want to say, yeah, so the God told Gideon, I'm going to read my notes, to take his army and go to war. God separated the armies, ones who were ready to fight, and the other ones were probably not ready. Maybe the ones who might be worried and complainers or just wasn't like flat out ready. The Lord woke up Gideon and said, if you are afraid, so do this. Go down to the Mennonite camp. That's the enemy. I mean, who wants to do that in the middle of the night? Like, if you get caught, you don't want to do that. But he says, go to the camp. And just listen to what they're saying about you. How many are having issues in your life? Like, I like have heartaches. Who just can't do it from a day-to-day basis. Your children are not serving the Lord. Your heart is heavy. Lord, Lord's like, go to the enemy's camp and just listen. Listen to what they're saying about you. So Gideon and his, I want to say it was his servant. They went down to the camp and Gideon heard a man just walking around. He heard a man talking to one of his buddies and about a dream that he had. And the dream goes like this on verse 13. I don't know if we have that on the screen. 7:13 says, Gideon arrived just as the man was telling a friend his dream. Quote, I had a dream, he was saying. A round loaf of barley bread came tumbling down the hill and just demolished our camp. It destroyed our tents. I mean, a piece of bread. He had a dream about a piece of bread. Woo! You know what I mean? Like a piece of bread, a loaf of bread came and destroyed the whole army. If you didn't have too much pizza, then that's a God dream. You gotta weigh it out. What kind of dream? Did I have pizza? No, that must be the Lord speaking. But he had a dream about a piece of bread that came and wiped out his own camp. Then that's when Gideon was, he's just like, they are afraid. They are afraid. They are afraid of us. I mean, he, at that point, his confidence level just went up. After he found out, then Gideon, on verse 15, it says, when Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he worshiped. Worshiped. What did he do? He worshiped. What is worship? Giving praise is giving praises to the Lord. Do we say, did he just say, Lord, I praise you. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. No, he actually praised him. Because if he just sit there and say, I praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. It's like I was taught, my dad was like, well, don't say I praise you, Lord. Then praise him. The Lord's like, okay, well, you want to praise me? Go ahead. Speak of the goodness of the Lord. Remember the last time I spoke, when you're going through issues, you speak and you proclaim the goodness of the Lord. You tell the Lord who he is for his benefit. No, to remind you that he is God and you're not. That he is on your side. He is going to fight your battles. So he bowed in worship. Yeah, well, sometimes you have to be broken and get on your knees. Oh, I get on my knees in my heart, brother. I don't remember reading that in the Bible. Some people have to just be broken and get on your knees. What was he doing? He was giving praise to his God, and he was putting his trust. He had confidence. This battle is yours. He just took his worries, because the Lord said, if you're afraid, I don't know why would the Lord say that, but he knew maybe he had some doubt. Doubt? Lift it up. He's royalty. The King of Kings spoke to his kid and said, I will fight your battles, mijo. I will fight your battles, son. Just give me the acknowledgement. So he went, okay, so I'm getting ahead of myself here. When things get hard, we have two options. We can worry or we can worship. Depending if you worry or worship is determined on the perspective who has the greater power in your life. Right? Like Satan, can we say that word here? Sure. Satan, he's the enemy of your soul. And what is he out to do? To kill, steal, and destroy. So you can worry. And just listen to what the devil has to say. You can. Or you can worship. And hear what Papa has to say. Let's hear what the lion has to say. When the little laughing hyena is telling you something, what does Papa have to say? The Lion of Judah. I don't know who you want fight your battles, but I don't want no laughing hyena. Bottom of the food chain, just about. Telling me how my week is going to go. Telling me my wife is still sick. She's not feeling good. Oh, well. Telling me dad might have cancer. Your children are going to fail school because of this whole dang pandemic. You know what I mean? Who am I going to listen to? It's pretty much my dad said, who are you going to listen to? As the priest of your home, what are you going to do? Gideon went and just worshiped. The enemy is here to kill, steal, and destroy. To kill your dreams. He's here to kill your vision. What's your vision? Has the enemy killed it already? Has he killed your dreams? What kind of dreams? It can be, I want to be this. For all the young people, what are your dreams in life? What do you guys want to do? When I mean young, I mean, how old am I? Anywhere from the age of 1 to 45. Young. What are your dreams? What are your visions? Has the enemy killed your dreams? He's come to steal your identity, who you are in Christ. He's come to steal who you are in Christ and how God sees you. He comes to steal your sleep at night. And he comes to destroy your family. If you give in to the worries, if you give in to, oh God, you're being killed by the enemy. He's going to steal this. Eventually, he's going to destroy your family. And he's going to destroy the fight. And to give whatever you need to the Lord. Church, it's time. It's time. This is the time in life. I don't know if you guys, we all know. I mean, I'm not going to, it's time to fight. It's time to stand and fight like no other. Boy, they were saying that back in the 70s. I was, 2, 3, 4 years old? 70s, 80s? It's time to stand and fight. Things are going to get rough. And boy, if I would have known what things are like today, would never even imagine. And the things are still going to get rough. They're still going to get tough. So what are you going to do? Worry. We deal with worry in many shapes or forms. The sense of panic, distrust. Worry brings distrust. You may not decide you're going to quit trusting people because you're worried so much and you're going to have bitterness in your heart. Worry brings makes complainers. Worry brings stress, and worry brings anxiety. We all pretty much know what all those feel like. So you come to church, and you feel defeated. You come to church, you don't want to lift your hands. You come to church, you don't want to respond to the message. You come to church because it looks good. But you're in your heart. You're not doing good. How many is not doing good in their hearts? Don't show me your hands, but how many is not doing good? You're going to come to church. You're going to shake people's hands. They're going to tell you about their day. You have nothing to give. In fact, you're going to have the Eeyore anointing. If you have taken notes, write that down. Eeyore anointing. Woo! What is it? Eeyore anointing. You guys know who Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh? Eeyore anointing, man. Come on, anointing. What's the Eeyore anointing? I'm not having a good day. I don't know what I'm going to do today. This week's definitely not looking good for me. Well, sir, I'm having, can you pray for my wife and children and blah, 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 blah. I guess if the Lord willing, he might move. I don't know. He sure hasn't moved for me. Oh, Eeyore. Do we want the Eeyore anointing? Come on. We don't want the Eeyore anointing. Sorry, I thought that was humorous. I heard that when I was in high school. That was driven into my head. And never will ever want an Eeyore anointing. let's continue reading Judges 7. I think I left off at 15. When Gideon heard the dream, okay, we're talking about the dream and its interpretation, he bowed down and worshiped. Okay, we just covered that. He returned to the camp of Israel and called out, get up. The Lord has given the Mennonite camp into our hands. Come on, people, get up. Get up. It's time for war. It's time to fight our battle. I mean, it's time to give our battles to the Lord so he can fight it. Come on, let's get motivated, people. Let's give it to the Lord. He is on our side. We are king's kids. We are royalty. I am royalty. I have been set free. I was made for glory. It's perspective. It's perspective. So he went in. He got everybody pumped up for battle. When Gideon and the hundreds of men, this is a verse 19, Gideon and the hundreds of men reached the edge of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch. Just after they changed the guard, they blew the trumpet and broke their jars. Okay, so I forgot this. So when he was prepping the army, he gave them, on one hand, he gave them, what do you call it? Shofar, yeah, that's right. A shofar. And the other one, they gave them a jar. And the jar has a lamp. What was that with a... I wrote it. Just like a lamp. But the lamp, you could not see the lamp because the jar was covering it. So when they blew the trumpets and broke the jar that were in their hands, he broke them up into three companies. So there was what? Do the math here. How many did I say there was when he broke them? I don't remember. 300. So he broke 300 up into three dividing groups. And he says, watch me. He's like, just watch me. He's like, I know. Then see the confidence that the Lord has given. He's like, watch me. Watch me. He was a leader of his pack, but he just said, watch me. How many can you say, watch me? Do you guys have the confidence to look at your neighbor and said, watch me. We're going to get through this. Just watch me. Follow my lead. Vamanos. Let's go. When the 300 trumpets sound, the Lord's cause, look at me. So they went to the camp, and they were waiting for Gideon's cue, and the cue was given. And they took their shofars. I wish I had a shofar. And what does the shofar mean? What does the shofar mean? Oh, it means prayer. When it's when the Jewish people, when they call their people to prayer, that is the call to prayer. It's time for victory. It's time for war. It's time to defeat the battle that the enemy has put before me with my wife and my dad and my children and my pastor and my church. It's time to fight. He gave the cue and the... Did they fight? No. They broke the jars, and after they broke the jars, their lamp was lit and held high. What did they do? Go hit everybody in the head with their shofar and lamp? No. The Lord fought their battles. What happened in the camp? You have these Mennonites, man. They're ready to go. They heard the shofar. They're like, oh, come on. We're going. There they go. Hey, why'd you hit me? I didn't hit you. Yes, you did. And they start beating each other up. They start stabbing each other. They were fighting each other, getting ready to fight Gideon's in the army. All they were doing is blowing a trumpet and holding a lamp, because that's exactly what the Lord said. Like I said, I don't know the significance. I mean, other than the shofar with the lamp and blah, blah, blah. But you know what? The Lord fought their battle. He split their camp. God, how God split Gideon's camp and how they're going to attack. God split the Mennonites' camp by arguing and fighting, and they came against each other. What in the world? Can you imagine sitting there? You're getting ready for battle. You don't know what you're going to do. All you know, you're going to blow this trumpet and sit there with a light in your hand. Now what? And you're looking down, and these fools are fighting each other. And they're stabbing each other. They're killing each other. And they run off. The ones that are left just run off. What do they have to do?
Nothing. 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 The Lord fought their battles.
Come on, people. If you're going through something, it's not time to be like, oh, I just want to, the Lord, don't worry, the Lord will take care of it. No, there's got to be some foot action. There's got to be some footwork you got to do. You've got to. This happened about a year ago. I was going through something. Pastor Henry says, mijo, fight your battle and speak in tongues constantly. Give the devil and go give the Lord no rest. Knock on his door. Knock. I can do that. It's mine. I paid for it. Knock on the door. Keep knocking. Speak in tongues. Constantly. When my dad told me a couple of weeks ago, what are you going to do? I do pest control. I go house to house. I don't know what to say. Lord, I speak life in my wife. I speak life in my life. I speak life in my dad. I speak life in my situations. Paul said in Ephesians, is it Ephesians? Ephesians 6, Paul is talking to the church of Ephesus. Ephesians 6:10, if you're taking notes, I don't know. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God. Come on, we're here to fight a war. I mean, if you really, really fight a war and speak in tongues and start doing karate chops, it's not biblical, but you don't have to do anything physical other than just worship the Lord. That's all he's asking you to do. Speak in tongues. Lifted hands. It brings a whole new meaning to worship on Sunday mornings. Sunday mornings, I have said this time and time again. Worship is not a time to get ready for the message. It's not a time filler so people can come in, drink their coffee, talk, go to the bathroom, and sit down just in time so we can do a couple, then get ready for the message. I'm telling you, the main event is worship. Worship is what brings the presence of the Lord into this room. I mean, if you guys have not have a new revelation for worship, it's time, folks. It's time. It's time. When it's time for worship, just give your all to Jesus because there is freedom. That's a song. I just quoted that from the song. I didn't make that up on my own. Give your all to Jesus. There is freedom. Freedom reigns in this place. Showers of mercy and grace. It's falling on every face. There is freedom. There's freedom in the house of the Lord. There is freedom in the house of the Lord. And it starts with worship. It starts with speaking in tongue. It's prayer language. Like I said, if you have the words, more power to you. More power to you. I don't always have the words to say and how to present it to the Lord. Pastor Henry told me, nothing but prayer language. And you know what? I saw the victory. I saw the victory. My wife came up here about 6 months ago and just proclaimed she is healed. We have other obstacles with her health. I'm speaking. No rest. I don't feel like walking, but I'm knocking on the door. I'm knocking on the heaven's doors. My papa. Do I have to wait for him to answer? No, he's my dad. I'm walking into the presence. Father, look, right here. I have permission. I have access. We all have access to the Father. I'm not worshiping him, by the way. No pictures or social media on this one, but just pretend. Just, Father. There's my crap. I love you. And all I want is your presence. All I want is your glory. There's nothing to it, people. There's nothing. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You didn't have to do that. Thank you. There's nothing to it. Just humble yourself. Be broken. If it looks funny, it's probably a good thing. It's probably a good thing. All right. I'm wrapping it up here. Can we make the keyboard music that makes the Holy Spirit move? Is Brandon here? There we go. Yeah. 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 I don't know. I don't know why I didn't ask for that earlier. That's kind of quiet in there. Okay. All right. So I keep. Okay. Let's just start from the beginning. Ephesians 10, 6:10. Finally, be strong in the Lord with his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God. Oh, that's when I went off. It's time to fight. Be strong. Put on the full armor of God so that he can take your stance against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the power of this darkness, dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Verse 13, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, to stand firm. Then it goes on to put in the belt of righteousness, and the, you guys know this feel. I'm going skipping to 18. It says, pray in the spirit. There you go. For those of you who need permission, there's your permission. Pray in the spirit on all occasions and all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep praying. Here we go. I'm about to start another, watch this, for the Lord's people. Whoa now. I just got done telling you about my problems and my issues and my week and blah, blah, blah. Now he's talking about praying for the Lord's people. You guys. You guys. You guys. It would be foolish of me to start praying for you guys. And I don't do nothing for my family. My family, my ministry starts at home. Then you guys come second. It would seriously, I've seen it. It would be foolish to start being ministering to other people. And you leave your family in the dust, and they're going through hell. You don't say a darn prayer. But as soon as I get my priorities straight, and I start walking, start praying, start believing, like an army, marching forward, I am royalty. I'm a king's kid. I belong in the presence of the Lord. Then the Lord will start showing you, pray for him, pray for him, pray for them, pray for them, pray for them, pray for them. We are an army, church. We are an army ready to fight. Nothing physical. It can get physical, which means you have to do a little extra praying, doing a little extra getting bold, getting a little oomph behind you. And just not letting the enemy of your soul win. Sometimes we, Pastor Henry, we have pastors in this church, Pastor John. We've been taught our whole lives, and it's true to an extent, that he is our shepherd. The Lord is our good shepherd, but our pastors are our shepherd. We are like sheep. We follow our shepherd. Some pastors take advantage of that. Some pastors are to the point where nobody can speak in church. You can't do this or that unless the pastor approves it or until he tells you, okay, I want you to speak after worship, blah, blah, blah. Full control. And we come to our pastor for everything, everything. We come to him night and day. Tell him our problems and expect him to pray for us and expect him to fight our battles. I don't know. He's the shepherd, we're the sheep, and we rely on being sheep and relying on this shepherd to do the footwork for us. It's not the case, folks. We are sheep, like I said, to an extent, but we are an army. It's time to put on our zapatos, put on our pants, put on our shirt, get our weapons ready, and let's fight our battles with our, like, I can't stop, with our hands lifted high. Pastor Henry has given us the freedom. He has said time and time again, if you have a word, come. Come. Say something. I don't care if you're a woman, male, female, man, boy, girl, baby. Say something. He has given us the liberty. He is not one of the, he doesn't tell us who can speak, who can. He has given us the freedom to be that army and to rise up and to walk what you have been called to do. He has given you the authority to speak the word and to speak the goodness. Did he give you a script and this is what I want you to read and this is what you're going to say? No. He is treating you guys. He is training us to be an army and to go forth. I need you. I need you. I need you and you. I need you guys. This is what I was trying to say. This is where things are going to turn. That the Lord has called. After you get your priorities straight, then we start praying for people, praying for needs. I need you. I need you to pray for me. I need you to pray for me. You need me. You need me. Right here. You guys ready? Check this out. Ready? Galatians 2:6-2. Carry each other's burdens, and in the way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Ecclesiastes 4:9-12 says, two are better than one, because they have good return to the labor. If either of them fall down, one can help the other up. But pity on anyone who falls, and no one is to help them up. Also, if two lie together, they keep each other warm. Help! That's for a marriage consultation later. I don't know where that came from. Okay, verse 12. Though one may be overpowered, two can defeat themselves. Or defend themselves, not defeat, defend themselves. And the cord of three stands and not quickly broken. I need you. And you need me. So let's not take the position of a sheep in the Eeyore anointing and woe is me and go into the pasture for everything, expecting Pastor Henry to fight our battles, expecting Pastor John to lead the way. I mean, they're here to lead the way, but not solely. It takes a little footwork on our part. It takes a little footwork to tell Steve, your surgery is going to go great, my friend. Welcome back, Steve. We had a couple people in this congregation who recently just passed away. And the families come to this church. They need us. They don't need an Eeyore. They need us to stand up. Stand up and fight. To stand up and say, Lord, I get his situation. There you are. Give it to the Lord. Oh, and I take your situation. I am not Jesus, but Lord, I'm going to stand in the gap. Amen. This is that awkward look I give when I don't know what to do next. But let's worship. When it's time to worship, folks, not just here on Sundays, in your car, in your closet, wherever the Lord has put aside for you to spend time with him. Let's give it to him. Let's be an army. That army, those Sagwitita house of worship, them show people, they think they're an army. Yeah, we are. Let this be a place where sickness is not tolerated. Let this be a place where cancer, oh my gosh, whoever has cancer, go to that church. You come out not having cancer. Oh, I was gonna put another quarter in it. All right. A time, a church where we can just, people will know this is the place to come for healing, for spiritual battles. So where you can come in and just be encouraged. Amen? Come on, church. Let's be an army. Let's be an army. Can we stand? Can we stand? Stand. Lord, we just come before you, Lord God. Like I said, I don't know how to end it, but here you are. Lord, we give this service to you, Father God. Lord, we just bring our families to you. Lord, we bring, Lord, our situations to you. Lord, we bring our week coming up before you. We bring my job before you, Lord. We bring my career. I bring my children before you, God. I bring my children's careers before you, God. I bring my grandchildren before you, God. Lord, I just bring, Lord, there's a whole lot in life I can be worried about. But Lord, we have the victory. We have, Lord God, what it takes, Lord God, to stand up and Lord, we have what it takes to fight the battle, for you to fight our battles, Father God. Lord, we just have our hands lifted up, Father God. Lord, we just proclaim the victory of the living God, Father God. Lord, we just cry out to you. Lord, we just say, Papa, Daddy, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, come down, Father God, and meet me here where I'm at. Lord, I can sit here. Lord, we can cry and boo-hoo, woe is me. But Lord, I want the victory in my life. No more Eeyores. No more Eeyores. We are soldiers in God's army. And we will submit ourselves to our general, Pastor Henry. We will submit ourselves under our pastor. But Lord, I'm not going to let him just fight my battles. That's not for him to do. Lord, I will give it to you. I will give it to you to fight my battles, Father. My message was called, Let's Go, Stand and Fight. In Jesus' name, Father God. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. If you need prayer, I want you to come on up here, man. We're going to pray for you. We're going to ask God to touch your heart, touch you. Amen. Hallelujah. How many enjoyed Jason this morning? Hallelujah. You know, let me just say this, not easy. These things are not easy. This young man hasn't preached in this house a full hour, 15 minutes, I think, at the max. Is that right? But this young man, I mean, I'll tell you what, God is raising young men and young ladies to preach the gospel. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's thank him for that. Let's praise God for that. That God's not done yet. Amen. Hallelujah. He's raising men and women. Hallelujah. And I would look across here. I said, man, all of you are in that. Amen? Hallelujah. Get your message ready. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for this morning, God. We ask you, Lord, that you would touch. You would minister to each and every person here, Father God. Lord, we thank you for healing. We thank you for the provision of jobs. We thank you, Father. Father God, for clarity of mind. Father, we thank you for all of these things this morning, God. Lord, we speak. Help us to know your ways. Help us to know you more, Lord. Thank you, Father. And Father, help us, Father, when we hear your voice and we say, God, I'm going. I'm going. I'm doing it. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. We thank you for it, God. We praise you for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Worship the Lord in song with us while we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.